Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, and welcome to episode 2 of PJ's Industrial Design and Technology Podcast. So happy to present episode 2 to you today, and today we are going to explore one of my favorites, and this is going back away. We're talking about Piaget. I know, PJ, Piaget, you're thinking, hey, that's kind of crazy coincidence. I'm going to do you one better. We actually share the same birthday. We were both born on August 9th. Of course, Jean Piaget was born in 1896 in Neuchâtel, Switzerland. I was not born in 1896, nor was I born in Neuchâtel, Switzerland. No, I have been to Switzerland. Piaget's early childhood was quite evident that he was going to be destined for academia. His father was a professor of medieval literature. And at the age of 11, get this, Piaget published a paper on an albino sparrow. By the age of 15, he had already published several articles on mollusk. He, in college, published 2 philosophical papers, though he later looked back on them and described these as quite adolescent. By the age of 22, he had received his PhD in zoology. He apparently did not feel compelled to pursue a career in zoology. He took an interest in psychology and worked with somebody who was quite familiar to those of us who have done any sort of testing. And he worked with Alfred Binet, who, of course, was the developer of the first intelligence test. And Piaget played a part in developing how to score those assessments. 1923, he was married. He had 3 children. And from his observations of his children, he based many of his theories of learning. Now, while it's obvious today, and especially obvious to those of us who have children, he concluded that children think very differently than adults. He's, of course, most famous for his 4 stages of learning, and these are broken down into a sensorimotor stage, a pre-operational stage, concrete operational stage, and the formal operation stage. From these theories on cognitive development, the foundation of many preschool and primary programs are based. Not only that, but his theories also provided the foundation for constructivist learning. And in constructivism, it says that people construct their own understanding and knowledge of the world through experiencing things and reflecting on these experiences. So thus you encounter new ideas or concepts, and these force us or force you to reconcile this data with our previous ideas and experience. So if we experience this new idea, this then challenges our cognitive process on what we believe. And if it does challenge us, then I think that is what we would call learning. And of course, if it just doesn't really resonate at all, then we just kind of shuck it away. So where does all this tie into instructional design technology? Well, Piaget's work stressed that the learner is central to the learning process. Well, let's take this idea of constructivistic idea. Is that a word? Constructivistic idea? It is now. Piaget felt that knowledge isn't truly created until the learner has developed a mental structure specific to the learning. Thus, knowledge can be built upon using simpler notions and instructions, sort of like a tower. So we, you know, start small and kind of work our way up. So he felt that good teaching is built around the operational abilities of the students. So this, to me, is beginning to sound a lot like instructional design. In that I'm thinking mainly about the Dick, Carey, and Carey model that I'm learning about in my other IDT class right now. And so when I look at that model and the premise that we are building an opportunity for knowledge, I can kind of see how a needs assessment fits into place. I can see how understanding and identifying the learner characteristics is so important. I mean, if we don't know who our learners are, how they learn, reach out to them in that fashion that's most applicable to them, then we're going to miss an opportunity to build upon their knowledge. You can see we're also having clear goals that are measurable, with measurable outcomes, are so important in this model. We must align the curriculum with where and who your learners are. And again, this is stuff that makes sense to me now in 2014, after having studied counseling psychology and majoring in psychology and getting a master's in counseling psychology, and now learning about instructional design and the Dick Carey and Carey model, I can see how all this ties together. But if we look back historically, we can see how Piaget's theories shaped educational theories. Now, going forward, there is some interesting data that suggests that maybe Piaget didn't quite get it right. And that's fine, I'm sure. Everyone, you know, any theory is going to have its critics. But one of the things that we're seeing today is that children's thinking across cognitive tasks is more diverse and maybe a little more advanced than what Piaget initially saw. Now, when I look at the research that criticizes Piaget's theories, my first question is, you have to look at the children in concept of time. And that to me is really fascinating because I, from a medical perspective, and my specialty was in pediatrics, I noticed it seems that children were certainly physically developing sooner and to a greater degree than historically was the case. But I also believe intellectually we're seeing children capable of more complex thought. And is that due to technology? Is that due to iPad and computers and having to develop those neural pathways to develop the ability to understand that? Or is something else going on? So it very well could be we're measuring apples to not quite apples. And that's just something interesting to think about. Theories have spanned the realm of science. He has affected primatology, philosophy, artificial intelligence, education. His insights and theories are massive. His list of significant works is quite long. He has written immensely. He's considered, obviously, a founding father of several schools of thought. He has multiple major works, multiple works of significance. He was a professor emeritus for numerous universities, or professors at the University of Geneva, the Sorbonne. He holds honorary doctorates from Harvard, the Sorbonne, University of Chicago, Cambridge, Yale. Yale one was acquired in 1970. I don't know why they were slow to the game. He has worked with a literal who's who in psychology and in education. The man left an indelible mark on psychology and education as we know it. And I found his theories to be fascinating and delightful to study. So I'm glad to share a little bit of my birthday brother, Jean Piaget, with you today. Thank you so much for your time and attention to Project 3.